Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April the 10th, 2020. Today is Good Friday. Holy Week, as a thing unto itself, is quite the emotional roller coaster. From the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, through the relative quiet of Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Holy Wednesday, to the intimacy and agony of Maundy Thursday, to the horrific happenings of Good Friday. It is a ride of emotions. And I've watched this year as my fellow clergy all over the country and across multiple denominations have wrestled with how to make Holy Week, quote, happen, unquote, in the absence of access to our buildings, in the absence of being together as a worshiping community, in the absence of all of the sensory experiences that are so much a part of Holy Week observances. And I've found myself a bit discombobulated all week because in order to make sure that there was enough production time for our various liturgical expressions that we were making available virtually, everything had to be done ahead of time. And so I was doing Maundy Thursday and Good Friday liturgies on Holy Wednesday. And so I've been simply disoriented. And yet, today on Good Friday, I find myself in that same odd place that I'm often in by the afternoon of Good Friday. The recognition that this day represents so much to so many and has represented that for so long. And I've already preached a Good Friday homily, but I thought that today for this reflection I would share two things. I would share a favorite passage from a favorite preacher, Fleming Rutledge, who wrote a book entitled The Crucifixion, Understanding the Death of Jesus Christ. I want to read a passage from her book, and then I want to share a hymn, an old hymn, a hymn that's been sung since at least the 6th century, and which we usually always sing on Good Friday, and so I'm particularly missing it today. This is a section from Fleming's book entitled The Cross as the Center of Christian Understanding. The place of the cross in Christian theology has been at issue from the very first days of the new faith. We know this because the Corinthian and Galatian letters of the Apostle Paul were written within 20 or 25 years of the resurrection, and those letters stake out the unique meaning of the Lord's death. Paul had his work cut out for him, for as Jürgen Moltmann writes in the very first sentence of The Crucified God, and I quote, "The cross is not and cannot be loved," end quote. As a general rule, the theology of glory will drive out the theology of the cross every time in comfortable society. We will often observe that this is particularly true in America, where optimism and positive thinking reign side by side. Teaching about the cross is very hard work. We see something of this in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where he drains himself of every mental and emotional resource in hopes that their trust in the gospel will be renewed. Taking up the cross, as Jesus himself called us to do, means a total reorientation of the self toward the way of Christ. Long before he knew his own destiny, Dietrich Bonhoeffer memorably wrote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die." The crucifixion is the touchstone of Christian authenticity, the unique feature by which everything else, including the resurrection, is given its true significance. The resurrection is not a set piece. It is not an isolated demonstration of divine dazzlement. It is not to be detached from its abhorrent first act. The resurrection is precisely the vindication of a man who was crucified. Without the cross at the center of Christian proclamation, the Jesus story can be treated as just another story about a charismatic spiritual figure. It is the crucifixion that marks out Christianity as something definitively different in the history of religion. It is in the crucifixion that the nature of God is truly revealed. Since the resurrection is God's mighty transhistorical yes to the historically crucified Son, we can assert that the crucifixion is the most important historical event that has ever happened. The resurrection, being a transhistorical event planted within history, does not cancel out the contradiction and shame of the cross in this present life. Rather, the resurrection ratifies the cross as the way until Jesus comes again. I grew up, as I said earlier this week, in a Christian faith, a Christian tradition that gloried in the cross. And sometimes I believe that we proper Episcopalians are, as Fleming states, a little too comfortable to be comfortable with the cross. But Good Friday is at least our annual contemplation and confrontation with this central fact of the Christian faith, that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. I bid you a holy Good Friday. I trust you will find some time to think about the cross and to think about how the death of Jesus on the cross has brought life and light to you and to the whole world. Sing, my tongue, the glorious battle of the mighty conflict, sing. Tell the triumph of the victim, to his cross thy tribute bring. Jesus Christ, the world's Redeemer, from the cross now reigns as King. 30 years among us dwelling, his appointed time fulfilled, born for this he meets his passion, this the Savior freely willed. On the cross the Lamb is lifted, where his precious blood is spilled. He endures the nails, the spitting, vinegar and spear and reed. From that holy body broken, blood and water forth proceed. Earth and star and skies and ocean, by that flood from stain are freed. He, faithful cross, above all other, one and only noble tree, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thy peer may be. Sweetest wood and sweetest iron, sweetest weight is hung on thee. Bend thy boughs, O tree of glory, thy relaxing sinews bend. For a while the ancient rigor that thy birth bestowed suspend. And the King of heavenly beauty, gently on thine arms extend. Praise and honor to the Father, praise and honor to the Son, praise and honor to the Spirit, ever three and ever one, one in might and one in glory, while eternal ages run. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was lifted high on the cross that he might draw the whole world to himself, mercifully grant that we who glory in the mystery of our redemption may have grace to take up our cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.